For the month of October, we talked about our 10-year ministry, what we're going to be doing, who we are going to be in the 2020s as a church. And we talked about three words: no experience and advance. Know God's word, experience the Spirit's transformation, and advance Jesus' mission. And you obviously, you'll be hearing a lot more about this as we unveil it big time with our on-ramps come January, but we just want you praying for that and praying that God's power is a part of that. We started in November, since it's the month of Thanksgiving, things we're thankful for. And I've tried to choose things that we don't normally think of. And today I want us to thank God for his power, and especially in the church. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for a beautiful day we have. An opportunity now to gather here to thank you, to worship you, to praise you for who you are. Just open up our minds, clear our thoughts, and let us focus on you and on your word. In Christ's name, amen. 4 or 5 years ago, I was at my previous church, and I was washing my hands in the restroom, and this little boy, about 9, 10 years old, he's standing there. He's washed his hands, and instead of leaving, he just looks at me, and he stares. And I realized he was staring at my mic. And he said, "Do you play guitar in the band?" I said, "No. Do you play guitar?" He said, "No." And he keeps staring. He said, "What do you play in the band?" I said, "I don't play in the band." He said, "Why you got that thing on your face?" I said, "Well, it's a microphone, and I'm the minister. I teach the Bible." And he gets this real disappointed look on his face. And he says, "Oh, I thought you were in the band." And he leaves. That's not the way that I thought that would play out. You know, I was ready to give him my autograph or something. And it turns out my microphone is, this is as cool as I get in life, you know, this close. But we've all been disappointed. We know what that's like. We get our hopes up, and this is how we want to see things or anticipate things. I think the apostles, if they came back and visited churches in the United States today, I think they would have that same disappointed look. I don't think this, what we have today, is what they intended. The book of Acts documents the birth of the church. And before ascending to heaven, Jesus instructed his apostles, "I want you to wait on God. I want you to wait patiently and prayerfully, but God's going to do something amazing." And this is what we read. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my God promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And that promise was fulfilled in this super God imparted his Spirit to early Christians with mighty signs and wonders, leaving onlookers utterly amazed. Now, what was so special about this unleashing of the Holy Spirit? Jesus explains, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised." And God always keeps his promises. "But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So the Holy Spirit was this witness enabling, God glorifying, supernatural power for Christ's church. The Greek word for power is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. Power in control, dynamite. And God gave this to his church. He placed this dunamis, this dynamite power, in every follower. Now, do you realize what that means? That the same power that was alive and unleashed upon the church in Acts 1 and 2, right at the beginning of the book of Acts, that same power is in you. This dunamis, dynamite power is in you. Wednesday, our entire staff attended a discipleship conference. It was an all-day thing, and we were there, and we met Shodanka Johnson. He is a minister in West Africa. His organization has planted nearly 60,000 churches. Now think house churches where groups of people meet. They have baptized 1.5 million people. They have baptized more Muslims in the last 15 years than have been baptized in the last 15 centuries. Oh, praise God. I mean, that's evidence of this power, this dunamis dynamite power that was alive in the first century. But someone asked him, well, why can't we do that in America? Why aren't we doing that? And very humbly he said, you Americans walk by sight, not by faith. You don't experience the Spirit's power because you have taken the place of the Holy Spirit himself. You don't let him lead. Let go of the wheel and let God steer. Step out on faith, live by faith, take risk by faith, and you will see miracles happen. And to be honest with you, we sat there and that was very humbling. To hear what is going on when you really live by faith. And if you read the book of Acts, you will see that same power that Pastor Johnson and his people have. And it's unleashed on the church, and then the church is unleashed on the world. In almost every chapter of Acts, the power is demonstrated in this remarkable fashion, impacting society. The early church became a mighty, energetic, conspicuous, eye-opening movement. It went from being a footnote to a headline. With great influence and potency, the early church confronted the world. It bucked the status quo. It stood against the ever-changing tide of culture. And the power of religious leaders and government leaders was threatened. And so they began persecuting the church. Arresting, torturing, beating, imprisoning to stop this movement. But they couldn't. Because the dunamis power, the dynamite power was alive and well. And when God's power is unleashed on the world, nothing can stop it. This church was so effective in the first century, their enemies in Acts 17 accused them of turning the world upside down. That's power. And that power is here. It's in us, every one of us. We're just not tapping into it. That same power turned a team of ragtag, uneducated Galileans into a lean, mean apostle machine. Christians took the world by storm. Why don't we see that today? Why do so many churches neglect and misunderstand and fail to seize the dunamis power from the Holy Spirit that is supernaturally available to us to evangelize our county and our state and the entire world? There are 350,000 churches in the United States today. You would think we would be making a greater difference than we are now, don't you? I mean, if we have this kind of power from the first century, if we have the Holy Spirit working in us, and yet we have yet to see a revival of a large-scale basis sweeping across our country, or a culture shift towards righteousness and holiness, or a consistent movement to reach the lost, just in the United States, let alone the world, Man, we got a long way to go before we are ever like the church in the first century in the New Testament. Why is that? Where did the power go? Why have so many churches in this country shut their doors? Why do we seem helpless against this anti-Christian cultural tsunami? It could be a number of reasons. And I have looked at this and I've prayed at this and I've read all of that I can. It could be that we as a nation have drifted away from God so far in our sin that he has simply removed his hand of blessing. It could be that financial difficulty is hampering our evangelistic endeavors because money has become the god of many. And even those within the church refuse to take part and to share and to sacrifice for kingdom work. It could be a fear of opposition. It could be discouragement that is hindering the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. It could be that biblical illiteracy. We don't know what the Bible says, and it leaves us ill-equipped for spiritual battle. I could go on and on and on. And for those reasons, maybe more reasons, we find ourselves on the defensive. I mean, if this were a football game, our backs would be against our own goal line with the enemy prepared to score. And by the way, it was completely random that the Chiefs were chosen to be in this photo. So we apologize for that. But basically, we were going for the evil black of the Steelers and forgot who they were playing. But the point is, that this is where we're at. This is what it feels like sometimes. That we've got to get back on the offensive. That we must regain the momentum. That we must advance and impact every segment of society in order to reach everyone with God's truth. Remember our marching orders? Remember what Jesus said before he ascended, shortly before he ascended into heaven? He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It was clear. God's plan all along is for the church to be on the offensive in our quest to make disciples of all nations. To obey Matthew 28, you have to have the power given to us in the book of Acts. And in his final instructions to the church, Jesus used an active action word. He said, "Go." There's a lot of people out there who won't come to you. You go to them. You get out of your walls and you go to them and you talk to them and invite them at work or in the neighborhood or wherever you go. This is what we are to doing. And he promises, and God keeps his promises. He promises that his church will be victorious, so victorious, in fact, that the powers of hell will not conquer us. And that promise should catalyze us to march triumphantly, to move forward, to experience success, to gain ground, to influence the culture and the media and entertainment and government by the way we live our daily lives in the power, in the dunamis of God. Paul reminds us we're already victorious. We're already powerful. We can do something with that. "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ." That word establish, go back to the original language, sterizo. It's where we get our word steroid. We hear a lot about anabolic steroids today because of sports. Some athletes use them illegally, unfairly, if you will, to enhance their performance. Years ago, when my oldest son was about six, we were sitting on the couch and we were watching wrestling, I think it was. And this guy comes out and he is just blown up, his body blown up. And my son looked at me and said, "Dad, he's been taking asteroids, hasn't he?" Steroids builds you up. Steroids gives athletes an unfair advantage. The church also has an advantage although it's not illegal and it's not unfair, because the power of God is available to everyone who believes. The church was to be a spirit-enabling force to be reckoned with. And we have all the necessary tools that we need to succeed. But we need to open our hearts and open our church fully to the guidance and the power of the Spirit. To move from status quo to Spirit flow. To pray that the Spirit will establish us like never before. That we need to push each other a little bit. In Hebrews it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I think we got to push each other a little bit to say, what are you doing? And what have you been, how have you been serving? And we're going to do that. Spur each other on in the context of this new spiritual hills that we're going to take for the next 10 years. The early believers did that. We're just following their example. In the midst of all that persecution, church didn't slow down. In fact, it picked up steam. Don't be afraid of what others will say about you. Because your faith has power. Get serious about the Lord in your life. Fear is of the enemy. Boldness is of God. And if we are of God, we are going to be bold. And when we get serious about our faith, serious about our prayers, serious about our worship together, serious about this power that is in every one of us, then the church, this church, will be unleashed. James wrote, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He was just like us. He was just an ordinary guy. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Just an ordinary guy who prayed in the power of God, the dunamis, the dynamite of God. I want that kind of faith in my prayers. I want to believe that I have surrendered my entire life to the will of God, and I pray that He shows me any areas of my life that I have not surrendered to Him. I'm going to pray that I know Him more deeply, that I can experience His power more fully, that I can live more effectively than ever before. And I want you to pray those same things. I want you to pray that your faith grows. I want you to pray that you feel God's power in you and in our church. I want to see the amazing things that God has planned for us that can only come through God and through His power that He unleashes on us and we unleash on the world. We're just human beings. We're just like Elijah, but we can pray and believe and things will happen, that God intervenes, that God keeps His promises. We've just got to get serious, people. Instead of just coming to church and doing church and playing church, we got to get serious. I want you to know that your staff prays for you every week. Prays for the lost every week. Prays for those who we hope will come to faith in Jesus Christ, who will come and be a part of our church family in power, because we believe there is power in prayer. God listens to His children when they pray. God used a dozen or so ordinary individuals to get His message out to the whole world. And you can make a difference in the lives of those around you with how you live and how you pray, how you share, and how you love. Look at these pictures right here. These are our young people who have gone out and they have bought Christmas presents for financially challenged families in our county, and they're going to be delivered through Grace Works. And they went out, they spent their own money to buy these presents. Actually, some of them spent their parents' money. But they went out and they bought all of these presents, took a day and visited the stores and bought those presents because they care. Because they want to do something that makes a difference. They want to serve. They want to sacrifice in some way that makes a difference. And many of you feel the same way. And your actions show it. You know, we've been in the office all of last month when we were talking about our 10-year goal and vision for our church, the values that we have. And even into November, the offerings have been amazing. And I'm told it's not just one person giving one big gift, but it's everyone giving and sacrificing because they believe in what God is going to do, that God is preparing to do something incredible here, amazing here. I had another believer approach me not long ago and said, I want to fund outreach events in 2020 for our church. You and the staff get together, you all talk about it, you decide what you all want to do, I'm going to fund it. We just paid another $100,000 on our debt because the money was there and the people are giving generously. God's moving. It's behind the scenes many times, but he is moving. And we are preparing to see what else he wants to do through Franklin Christian. You know, I've talked to young adults over the past 10 years. Many of them come from homes whose parents are not believers or they're casual Christians. They go to church on the holidays. They rarely read the Bible. And these young people are looking at their parents and they love their parents. That's not the issue. The issue is the parents' religion and they're saying, I don't get it. They're not moved with the parents' religion because they never see God do something amazing in their homes. They may see their parents go to church sometimes or pray at the dinner table at holidays, generally live good lives, but they've yet to see them experience God. To see that dunamis power that we're talking about today, that dynamite power. And really what they're saying is we don't want another religion. We want to see God do supernatural things in our lives. We want to see the Spirit move. We want the real thing. We don't want a spiritual checklist. We just don't want to go and play church. We want a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want authenticity. And obviously there are exceptions to this, but many are crying out for something more. And I'll be honest with you, I want to give them something more. I want them to see this church be known for dunamis, for the power of God, driven by the movement of the Spirit and invested in God's people who are doing something more than they've ever done before, who are serving more than they've ever served before. A church on spiritual steroids, ready to do amazing things for God. I want to be a church that lives by faith, that takes risk, that prayerfully anticipates Jesus' return and knows it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, and we're going to be prepared, and he's going to find us working for him and for his kingdom when he does show up. That's the dunamis power that we must have, that we tap into. Four years ago, I participated in a funeral service for a Christian man named Waller. He was a Boeing engineer. Waller was walking out of the plant with one of his co-workers, and he was talking to him about Jesus. And this was not a rare occurrence. This was pretty common for Waller because Waller would talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime about Jesus. He just loved the Lord. But this day, as they were walking towards their cars, Waller suddenly collapsed. And he died of a massive heart attack. The last words he ever uttered on earth were about Jesus. And this is what Jesus said long ago. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. One moment, Waller is telling a friend who Jesus is. And the next minute, as Waller stood before God, Jesus was explaining who Waller is. One second, Waller is professing Jesus. The next second, Jesus is professing Waller. And it could happen to any of us. The dunamis power was in Waller. And he unleashed it upon anybody around him about Jesus. I want the dunamis power to be in you. To be in this church. And to be so powerful. And so conspicuous. And so amazing. That only God would get the credit. And everybody would ask, what's going on there? Because the power of God is evident in everything they do. I am going to give you a homework assignment right now. I want you to pray for dunamis power in our church. And if you don't know how to spell it, just put dynamite. I want you to pray for dynamite power in our church and dynamite power in your life. Don't be afraid. That's of the enemy. You be bold. And we're going to be bold as a church. Now, last week, I said we're closing our services out all this month with the same song. We're going to close our services out with the doxology. Because we're here to praise Him, we're here to thank Him. And there's no better way to do that than just this simple chorus that has been around for centuries. Now, if you've come today and you need prayer after I dismiss you, after Brandon dismisses you, after we sing, we'll have prayer team up front ready to pray with you or to answer questions. And if you're just visiting with us, I'd love to meet you myself. And over on this side of our building, there's a meet and greet area and love for you to come by and let me say hi to you. I have a gift that our church family wants you to have. But during this time that we sing the doxology, pray. Pray with all your heart. Pray that we will use the dunamis power that is within us. Stand and let me pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, let us be your ambassadors, your warriors out there. Let us be an example of the power that is within your Holy Spirit, the power that is within us. And we pray as a church family that you would help us and encourage us to unleash that power, to do whatever it takes, to take whatever risk, to go where we are to go in our own circles, to take your Son so that others will know, others will believe. We're ready to make disciples. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name. Amen.